right in the middle of a good dream. Back all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
It's 18 degrees, 19.5 minutes past 1. My guest in the studio this afternoon has been a megastar since his debut as a teenager in the 70s classic sitcom. The Partridge Family sold over 25 million records and CDs in his 25 years in the business, which is fantastic effort, and he looks better now than he did when he started in the Partridge Family. David Cassidy, welcome to the program.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate that already.
You do. You look great.
I feel good. I got to tell you, my life is my life is flourished, and you know, it's cool just hearing like bits and pieces and excerpts of the songs and the hits and that are on the new CD, and going back in and re-recording all those great songs and doing it in the original studio with the original musicians.
Yeah.
And re-singing them 25 years later.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience. Really fantastic experience, because they're great songs.
And I thought that was great, and I read that, where you actually went back and did it with the original musos, which was great.
All the original guys, legendary guys, too. And I sang in the same microphone.
Yeah.
Right? That was very wild.
Yeah.
It was really such a journey, and such a good journey.
So how long did it take you to put it all down?
Oh, well, we did it over a period of a couple of months. Mm. But truthfully, when we were recording it, we would do two or three tracks a night, and a day.
Yeah.
Because I sang live on all the tracks, and just, how does it feel? I was never a guy that would go in and punch, you know, syllables, and, you know, that I could sing that word better. I just, if the performance is there, you just go with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
Because I've been singing live every night for the last, you know, 13 years every night.
Now, you've become probably one of the biggest stars ever in Vegas now, too, haven't you?
It's been a good run, I got to say. Yeah, life is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I've admired about you, And I guess you should get this from your dad, from Jack Cassidy. Certainly get your looks, because your dad was regarded as probably the best-looking man ever in the business.
He was,
wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He
incredibly
was
good-looking.
Dashing, handsome man. And, yeah. He had a lot of charm and charisma.
And a great talent, yeah.
Fabulous talent, yeah. And a lot of people, unfortunately, he never became terribly famous. And I think that was very frustrating to him. He never achieved the acknowledgement, even though from the industry, inside the industry, people in the business revered him.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest American theatrical actor and this and that. And I thought it was a wonderful thing that...
Yeah, he could do anything, couldn't he?
He could do anything. Yeah. And that was part of the problem.
I was a great fan of your dad. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know what's so nice? More than two or three people have said that to me since I've been here in the last few days. And it's really nice to hear that about him, because he was a truly brilliant talent as an actor. Yeah, but there is so much to him that I could spend an hour talking about him and how you know, vast the experiences of people that have come up to me and told me about how he touched their lives, and like, you know, cab drivers and you know, guys that are bellmen at hotels and things. Met him for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, never forget him.
Yeah.
He's that kind of a guy.
Yeah, and I guess you know, because you're very show business from the day you were born, I guess, and that's why you can do shows like your Vegas, you know, you can go and do outside shows, where a lot of guys in your era, when you started off, really couldn't do that much, and that's why we never hear from them anymore, whereas you're an entertainer.
Yeah, and I guess
as well as a singer.
I'm almost a throwback, I think, in a lot of respects to the guys that, you know, we think of in terms of, like, Bobby Darin and those guys.
Yeah.
Writer, producer, actor, singer. And there aren't a lot of them now.
Well, if Darin had lived, he would have been another Sinatra for sure. Great talent.
I think better myself.
Yeah, great talent. He always said that, Bobby, though, when he was about 24.
He did.
He said, I'm going to be the next Sinatra.
he said, I'll be a legend by the time I'm 25.
That's exactly right.
And he's right.
Yeah.
And he was.
He was, yeah.
And had he not died at 37, God knows what he would have been. But, you know, I was
you wouldn't have met him. You're too young, wouldn't you? You would never have met.
I met him for literally a moment.
When you're very little.
No. He went and became Bob Darin.
Bob Darin, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I'm going to be Bob Dylan. If I were a carpenter, you were a lady.
That's right.
That one?
Yeah.
Right? And then he decided, you know, because he was the biggest act in Vegas, and he then died in Vegas, and they booed him off the stage because he tried to be Bob and political. He was a very bright guy and very politically active.
Yeah.
You know, was involved in Bobby Kennedy's campaign.
Mm.
And then he, in 72, he did a bomb television summer show. But he made another deal to go to Vegas that was, at the time, the biggest deal ever. And he put back on his tux and his toupee and sang, "Foolish Charlie has such deep, deep." I mean, for me, there was nothing quite like that.
Yeah.
And that's just the era that I was a kid around, you know, 10, 12. And certainly the Beatles had a large influence on my musical life and direction. You know, when I saw them I was 13 on the Ed Sullivan Show, which was the big show in America, the variety show.
That's right,
The next day.
They shot him from the waist up.
That was Elvis. But when I saw the Beatles. Yeah.
Oh, I'm still thinking of Elvis.
Yeah, you're thinking of Elvis.
You're talking about the Beatles.
That was in the 50s. In the 60s, the Beatles broke on the Sullivan Show.
Yeah.
The next day, I went out and bought an electric guitar and started learning, you know, how to play all their songs.
Yeah, the Beatles did that, didn't they? They encouraged young people to get into music.
Well, they had the same impact that Elvis had a decade before.
Yeah.
And in the end, probably much more of an impact because of the social changes in the way of life, that how the political and social revolution of the 60s.
Mm.
I mean, John was probably more responsible for any of it, style.
Fashion, everything.
Fashion,
he was,
everything.
Yeah, you're spot on.
Everything.
Yeah, yes, he was.
Everything.
Yeah, all the changes.
The Maharishi, meditation, LSD, all the rest of it, you know. And John was like, because I got to know him very well, he was like, man,
he was a great guy.
I'm just having fun, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't a big noter or anything like that.
No.
He was just an ordinary sort of guy.
No, he's a real guy and the best sense of humor, you know.
Mm.
He just had such wit, and I got to know him. He was a very good influence for me in the middle 70s after he had left it for quite a while.
Now, obviously, you've looked after yourself. You look fantastic.
I feel good, thank you.
So you've obviously worked out a lot and
I do shows every night. I lose a pound every time I work.
Well, that's true. You don't have to work out.
No, I don't go to the gym at all.
Showbiz does it for you.
Yeah. Well, what I do on the stage, and, you know, I've been doing a concert tour now for the last year, but prior to that, I was doing 10 shows a week for 8 to 10 shows a week for probably 9, 10 years straight at 48 weeks a year.
That's hard for your life, isn't it?
Oh, it's really hard because you miss... You can't get sick. You can't hurt yourself. You can't... Otherwise, you can't perform.
Yeah.
And when you're playing live every night and you go out and you put what I put into it, it just has a, you know, it has a lot of very definite, I mean, there's great, it's a great thing to be able to have, but it has, in terms of your personal life, has great limitations because you have to save your body and your voice and your for the performance at night. So you can't do a lot of things that you would
You can't go out to lunch, you can't.
Well, you can go out to lunch.
You can't drink half a bottle of whiskey if you wanted to.
No, you can't do that.
Makes it a bit hard later on
the night. No, you have to. Your discipline is about that. And you have to have that self-discipline every single day. You can't go climbing up the bridge in Sydney. You can't go taking a three-hour journey. Otherwise, you're not walking on the stage that night. You know, you can't go and go, oh man, I got to tell you. I'd love to perform for you now. I'm just so tired.
Can't work.
Doesn't work.
And it's hard for you, as you say, for your social life and family life and everything.
Right. Well, I work.
You just go home and go to bed, do you?
Well, I worked from 6 until midnight in Vegas for 6 years. Okay, I'd get there at 6.
What,
and
seven
so,
nights a week?
6 nights a week. And because I was producing both shows, I'd work all day on my day off. Every day. I had to. I couldn't keep up with all of you know, you've got 78 employees and all the business of it. I have a small business.
Oh, so was your company doing the whole thing?
Yeah.
Gee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you had to...
I wrote it and...
You were the boss as well.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And you took over a show from...
Michael
Crawford.
Yeah.
And Michael said to me in the studio a couple of years ago, he said David Cassidy took over from me and he said, what's more, he's doing a better job than I was doing.
Really?
He gave you a big rap, yeah.
Boy, that's unusual. no, that's unusual for an actor.
No, he did.
I don't know him, but he doesn't have a reputation of being kind of a generous guy.
No, I know that, but I've heard his reputation is not that good, but every time I've come across him, he always speaks very well of everyone.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice to know. Yeah, I mean, the show that he had left was not doing well, and I just came and rewrote the whole thing and redid the whole thing and just used the hardware that he used, and, you know... It worked very, very, very well.
Was that the first time you'd ever worked in Vegas?
Yeah, first time I'd ever worked in
Was
Vegas.
That frightening?
No, not at all. No? I'm not afraid of anything, really.
You don't get nervous before a performance?
Nah.
No?
I get excited.
Did you ever get nervous doing the TV show?
No. Never got nervous doing the television.
Where was that shot, David? Where'd you shoot that? In Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We shot The Partridge Family in, actually in Burbank. For Screen Jams Columbia Pictures at the time, and... It was called the Columbia Ranch. It's now like the Warner Ranch. But yeah, we did that 100 episodes of it there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It amazed me you never went into didn't do many movies, you know, because...
Well, in those days, television stars, not really at the time I wasn't, but shortly afterwards. But in those days, television stars didn't do movies.
True.
It didn't happen until the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was difficult at first, and now that's all it is. It's like...
They do telly, they do movies, and you know.
I mean... There was a snobbery about movies, and in terms of television, he's a television actor. You can't even put him in a movie. None of that exists anymore. Now it's like, great, he's on television, let's put him in a movie.
Yeah.
It's completely the opposite now.
Yeah.
But no, it wasn't like that in the 70s.
So now you've left Vegas. What part of the states do you live in now?
I just moved 10 days ago to South Florida. So I don't really live anywhere because I've only spent 4 days there. So I live on an...
So have you actually ever owned a house anywhere?
Oh, yeah.
In Vegas, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we owned a couple houses in Vegas, and I've, you know, lived all over the United States. And I lived in London for a while, too. But
did you?
Yeah, in the middle 80s, 84, 85, and then I went and did a show in the West End in 1987. So I spent quite a few bit of time. I wrote and produced...
You were on the West End,
I was in the West End with Laurence Olivier in that time. So
did you like London?
I loved London. I really loved it. I did a lot of work there. I wrote a lot of songs and made a lot of very good friends there. And, I think London, now I don't feel connected to it like I did. There was a great vibe in the 70s and 80s.
But that really gave you a big, sort of even more international standing as a stage star, didn't it, when you were successful on the West End, particularly working with Laurence Olivier.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, he was a very, very... He was an older man. He was a gentle, wonderful man, though. When I went back, I did Blood Brothers on Broadway in the 90s, 93, 4. Mm. And in 95, I went over and did it in the West End for a couple of months. And I just wanted to do it in the West End because I, you know, we'd had such big success with it on Broadway. And it's such a fabulous piece of work. It was such a fabulous production that it really helped in a lot of ways for me to achieve a lot of what I wanted ultimately to achieve in terms of just acknowledgement of not just fame and money and certainly selling a lot of tickets and all that, but from my peers and from the critics, and you know, it went a long way in terms of people recognizing me and credibility.
What's harder, Broadway or Vegas?
Depends on what you're doing. The role I played on Broadway was very difficult. The role, you know, my jobs have been, I'm not attracted to passive work. I'm attracted...
You like to get right into it. Energy.
Energy work. I mean, that's what my life is about, energy. Loving, trying to lift people up, trying to get them... You know, for me, I've been blessed to have people who care about me and care about the work I do. And to celebrate it. Now my tours, that's all it's been about. I mean, the last year, we've been touring around the U.S. and then in the U.K. And the shows have been just... incredible. I mean, I've had people say to me, I've never seen anything like it.
Mm.
You know, it's...
because you're getting into that crowd that don't get the chance to come to Vegas. You're sort of taking yourself out and they say, gee, I didn't think Cassidy could do this.
Yeah, it's not just that either. I think some of it is that.
Mm.
But I also think it's the fact that I'm going back for the first time and singing music that had such an impact, songs like those. And the new CD, you know, has just gone platinum in the U.K. and... it's become a huge thing, and to be able to celebrate it, because I haven't been out flogging these songs over and over and over and over and over.
Because so many people grew up with it, and it means so much to people's lives.
And I haven't played them in so long.
That's right. And you don't, I've never seen David Cassidy do those songs. Well, I haven't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in 27 years here.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in Australia. So it's really good. I'm really looking forward to November when I come back and play and do concerts all over.
I remember that night, the Logies. No, remember the Logies?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Southern Cross,
Yeah.
Who was there? There was you, Gina Lollobrigida. She was, remember Gina? Yeah, she was there,
She introduced me at the Melbourne Cricket Grounds.
Did she?
Yeah. That day that I played the Melbourne Cricket Grounds, she introduced me.
Yeah.
She was backstage taking pictures and stuff, and, you know, it was...
Oh, that's right, because she was a photographer for Life magazine.
Yeah,
she was a famous photographer,
exactly.
Wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
That's right. That's right. You did the MCG, the cricket.
It was wild.
That were the days.
75,000 people.
Just to throw you in a boot, you know.
Exactly.
No one could, you know.
Life is a little different now, but you know, I got to say, the audience, you know, the audience reaction is pretty overwhelming, and the energy in the room and the in the buildings have been on this tour. It's been pretty incredible.
What sort of... Where have you worked? Right through London, have you? Right through England?
All through England, all Scotland.
Balls, isn't it?
All over the U.S. We've done almost probably 100 dates now. And, you know, I mean, it's just... it's indescribable to you. To me.
And you bring a band. You got your band and your back and all that.
In fact, the girls are with me. Both my singers are with me. They're really good.
Are they?
Yeah, they've been working with me for the last 3 years. Yeah. Both at the Copa, at the show I wrote and produced at the Rio, and also doing concerts the last year. So we've had a great old time. And they're very good friends of mine now.
Yeah.
And,
are you a party boy? Do you like the party and all that afterwards?
No.
Or you've got discipline, haven't you?
How do I explain it? I'm not able to go out. No, I don't go to clubs and do that stuff. No.
You like to sit down and have a nice glass of wine and a meal.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'll hang out with my friends and we'll laugh. And, you know, they'll come up to my place or we'll go to a restaurant or something. But it's usually 8 to 10 people, maybe most. Sometimes it's 2 or 3.
Because I guess you were never, ever able to go out.
I wasn't.
Well, because, you know, people would drive you mad.
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was really tough, you know, and I had to go places. Everywhere was security people and everything else.
Yeah.
I still, to a certain degree, is like that. The good news is, you know, when the teenagers have, they're not in control of their emotions, particularly girls, females. You know, I mean, it's classic.
That.
No, I didn't either. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. No, I loved it. But you know, people in their 30s and 40s are now, you know, that were fans of mine then, their voices have dropped an octave and they're, women now and they have more...
You see in a different way.
Yes. Yeah. And then instead of throwing love beads, they throw cheese and lingerie and bras and things.
Oh, is that happening to you, though?
A lot.
Yeah. I get calipers thrown at me.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Tomatoes, sorry.
We'll just take a break. You don't mind?
No, I'll stay for a while.
We'll just take a break and back with David Cassidy.
So, let's talk...
The delicious gourmet pies from Temptation Bakeries are handmade with no preservatives or artificial flavouring. In fact, they're so good they've won 12 gold medals in the past 3 years. Do you like Australian pies? Oh, these... You never had an Australian pie?
No, well, I haven't been here in 28 years, 27 years. Oh. What do you expect?
Well, when you come back, I'm going to organise it all for you.
An Australian pie.
And they're beautiful. Lots of pastry, but lovely meat, everything inside them.
Ah.
They've got the lot.
Ah.
Yeah, they've got steak, mushroom and peppercorn.
They're going to love you for this.
With a bottle of red. You like wine? Red wine?
Bottle of red.
Well, I'll look after you there.
There you are.
And the dome up from Temptation Bakeries means they are just bursting with delicious ingredients. Look for Temptation in your deli department of Coles, Safeway, Ritchie's, Rossini's and Wishbone stores, as well as quality delis and cafes. Ask them by name. My special guest in the studio is the one and only David Cassidy, and we're taking your call. I didn't have to ask for calls, David. The board is full.
Fantastic.
And this comes from a fair way, this one. This is Jill from the UK. G'day, Jill.
Hello.
What part of England are you in, Jill?
I'm in Hertfordshire.
Hertfordshire. Would you like to say hello to David, Jill?
I would.
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm fine, David. A little bit tired. It's 4:45 in the morning here.
Oh, my God. Are you listening on online?
Yeah, I've waited up all night just to say hello.
Oh, God bless you, Jill. Thank you for that. You know, I will come back to the UK. In fact, I'm meeting in LA in another week or so with the promoter about doing a tour there sometime in the late spring next year. So, but that's great. If you got anything, I'm sure you're probably brain dead. It's 4:45. anything I can? Would you like to ask anything?
There's a dream I've had for 32 years, and tonight you can make it come true.
Okay.
No, it's okay. It's nothing.
No. I'm game. Go ahead, baby.
This to me is a birthday present.
Is it your birthday?
It's my birthday in a couple of days.
Oh,
beautiful.
This is like an early present.
Oh, well, great. Well, let me just say this to you. Happy birthday, Jill. And, other than that, happy birthday. Sorry. That's dating myself, aren't I? Yeah, right. That's probably 60.
Yeah.
Something like that, wasn't it? 1959 or 60?
Yeah.
Jill, you're a sweetheart to call and stay up all night. And I'm coming back to Australia in November, so probably too far of a trip for you to make. But
unfortunately, yes.
I understand. It's a long way, and I haven't been here for 27 years, so... I'm really lucky.
Well, I've never missed a UK show.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
Do you have to go back to... Do you have to go to work in the morning, Jill?
No.
Good.
You don't.
Good. Sleep in, get a good night's sleep, and have a toddy for us, okay?
Yeah. Was it worth it, Jill?
Every second.
God bless you. Thanks, me.
God bless you, Jill.
Take care of yourself.
Thanks, babe.
Bye.
Thanks for your call. That's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Brian. Hello, Brian Finch. Brian Finch is one of... our top television producers here in Australia. He's got his own film company down there in Richmond. Brian.
Oh, yeah?
Brian Finch joins me on the line. G'day, Brian.
G'day, Ernie.
How are you, Brian?
Very well, thanks, David.
Good. What's
long
up?
Long time no see.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd just like to endorse Ernie's comments earlier about the FX show in Las Vegas. I've been lucky enough to see three versions of it, the original Crawford version, your version, and Tommy Tune's. I've got to say that you walked all over Michael Crawford because he looked like he was bored through the whole show, and you brought the show alive because it was a strange one, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Thank you for saying that. I rewrote the whole thing and redid it and wrote a lot of music for it and turned it into, I think, a more contemporary version. And, you know, my energy is a lot different than his. And, you know, I loved doing it. It was a fantastic piece of work, and it became extremely successful for me. And it was a great platform. And without it, I probably wouldn't be back out on tour. But I did probably 1,600 performances of it. So,
Yeah.
The early version of it, I think about 3 weeks into it, they were still having a lot of problems effects-wise, but that's okay.
Yeah.
but it was just a mess. But he obviously didn't enjoy the thing and obviously wanted to get out of it. But I was privileged enough to see the second version and the Tommy Chin version. Mm. But I think that, congratulations, you did bring it alive, because it was a strange show otherwise.
Yeah, it was very difficult to have people understand that we kept the $50 million worth of hardware and then had to write a whole new story around how we use it. So his version was completely and totally different from mine, musically and every other way. And, I mean, he's a different guy and has a different take on...
Yeah.
I don't know his material that well, but, yeah, it really worked well, and I just blew it up and rocked it and, you know, tried to take what I could and bring people into the show and try to connect with the audience, and which is what I do all the time. But thanks for your...
Yeah, good on you, Brian. Lovely
thanks,
to
Brian.
Hear from you, mate. Brian Finch. Leonie. Leonie is actually the wife of one of Australia's great singers, Robin Jolly. She's on the phone. G'day, Leonie.
Hello, Ernie. How are you?
I'm well. You'd like to speak to David, would you?
Well, I've been trying to track him down since he's been here, so this is just wonderful.
Yeah.
I've got something for you, David.
Oh, what do you got for him?
If you want it, that's all. I have got a TV Week King of Pop Award in 1973, awarded to you for the most popular overseas singer.
Really?
I don't know how it ever ended up in our house, but my husband got Best New Talent in 1972, and it's been a bookend.
Oh,
so
my God.
They've got your award, a lovely big award.
You have my award, isn't that cool?
So I thought, now that you're here, and you haven't been here since this award was given, I presume.
Well, shortly after that, I think 74 was the last time.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, so it's here, so if someone can tell me where to send it.
Well, if you'd send it in here, well...
Are you going to give the award to me?
I am.
Well, it's yours, so your name's on it.
Well,
your name is on it from 1973.
Oh, my gosh. I'd love to have it. Honestly, I would really love to have it.
Yes.
I can't believe that, you know, how you ended up with it, though.
I don't know. Whether it was a party or someone had it to take back overseas,
yeah.
Or they came
someone nicked
night
it.
And,
yeah.
It was during those days lots of things were happening in our life, and it ended up here, and you never came back. We didn't know what to do with it, so it was in a bookend.
So it's a bookend.
So with your name on it.
If you can get it into here, and we'll get it onto Die Rolls.
That sounds good.
And Di will get it to David.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
How's Robin, Leonie?
Oh, he's marvellous. He's wonderful.
Good on him. Give him my regards, won't you?
I will.
Yeah, and mine too. Can I say that? Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks,
that's
Leonie.
Very kind. Thanks,
good
Leonie.
We have Leslie on the phone. Leslie's from the UK as well. G'day, Leslie.
Hello, Ernie. How are you?
Good. What time is it over there, Leslie?
It is now 5:10 in the morning.
And where are you?
I'm just outside London.
Just which part?
Essex.
Essex, a beautiful spot.
It is a beautiful spot.
You'd like to speak to David?
I would, please, yes.
Go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, David.
Hi, Leslie. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, actually wonderful. We're having a great old time here. Been here a couple of days and just got to Melbourne last night. We were in Sydney for a day and a half and, you know, working a lot, but looking forward to spending a little quality time in the next day or two and getting out in the city and... You know, relaxing a little bit, but we've been traveling pretty strong.
Yeah, you must be exhausted.
I'm a little tired, but, you know, when you're having a good time doing what you love, what you do, it's part of my job. It is my job, in fact. Part of what I do is be a gypsy, and I like it. I really like it. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's difficult because we got up early and had to do early morning television. I had to sing early and then worked late last night too, you know, and but that's when you're here for 3 or 4 days, and I haven't been here in 27 years. I've, you know, done a couple of press conferences and done this is the only radio show that I've done.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
The only radio studio that I'm in. So God bless you for staying up and being here, Leslie. I appreciate that.
How long have you been a fan, Leslie?
Oh, I first saw David in 1973, Empire Paul Wembley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wembley.
Wembley.
We're here.
Yeah. That's fantastic, Leslie. I'd spoken a little bit about the idea of, for me, coming back and doing touring again and concerts all over the United States, and just had a fantastic time doing a tour in the UK. And fans were amazing, really, truly amazing, and people like Leslie and... I much appreciate you staying up so late to talk to me.
Good on you, Leslie.
Oh, we appreciate you, David.
God bless you.
How's your weather over there, Leslie?
It's not too bad at the moment, thanks.
Oh, that's good.
Not raining.
All right. You look after yourself. Thanks for your call.
Take care.
Thanks, Leslie. That's fantastic. Julian, hello, Julian. Sorry, g'day, Julian.
Hey, David, how you going, mate?
Good.
How you doing, Julian?
I'm a big fan of yours. I bought tickets to see you, in the front row, of course, because, I'm just a big fan.
Wow. Oh, it's great. Thank you for saying that, but there aren't that many front row seats to be available to...
I got up at 6:30 in the morning, mate.
Julian, you're the man. Thank you.
I just love you, David. I want to ask you a question. Would you be able to, send me out your autograph? I know I'm not going to be able to meet you face-to-face because, you're a huge celebrity, from the 20th century,
I'm a 20th century guy.
Your address on the phone here. We'll see what we can do.
The problem is that, when one person asks you to do it, and then they think,
I know.
So 5,000 people have sent it, and I don't want to disappoint anybody. If I can do it for you, I will, though, Julian. And I really appreciate you doing that. And come over, when I come back over in November, just be prepared to rock, okay?
I will, buddy. I'll be rocking, all right?
Yeah, we certainly will be.
David, I try and imitate you, mate.
You do?
Yeah.
Be careful. Don't hurt yourself, buddy.
No, I'm not myself, nuts.
Don't hurt yourself.
Good on you, Julian.
Bye.
Linda. G'day, Linda.
Hi, Ernie. Hi, David.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Take care, Ernie. Ernie, get a hold of yourself,
baby. I'm all right, David.
He's losing it. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, sweetie.
David, I used to watch you on TV over 30 years ago.
You used to?
Oh, yeah. Well, when you're on the Partridge Family.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to tell you what I used to do, because we didn't have videotapes in those days.
That's right, we didn't. You're absolutely... What did you do?
I used to get my tape recorder, and I used to tape every single show.
Oh, wow. You mean audio tape it?
Yeah, and then I'd lie in bed, and I would listen to you at nighttime, and I have still got some of the tapes.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
And the other thing that I used to get in trouble from, my mum would say to me... please stop kissing the TV, because it's
a kiss. Well, you can come and lay a kiss on me when I come back.
Oh, thank you.
That was a real deal. God bless you for that. Yeah. Thank you.
Good on you, Linda.
You're so sweet. Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. Teresa. G'day, Teresa.
Hello, Ellie. Yeah. Hello, David.
Hi, Teresa.
I'm enjoying myself listening to everybody else.
So am I. Yeah. Can I tell you? Not nearly as much as Ernie is, though. Ernie.
This is good.
Watch yourself.
Taking me back to my teenage years. last night.
What's on your mind, sweetie?
I just want to go back to the past. I saw you in concert at the MCG.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Were you there? You weren't the one with her top off, were you? Because there's a great photograph that I have that Henry Dilts took from the stage of a beautiful girl, probably about 10...
That was my one.
And Henry asked me, he said, if you go back and you see that girl in Melbourne, find out if that's her. And I've asked every girl I've spoken to. Kidding.
I had a tank top in those days.
A tank top, yeah.
Tank top.
Yeah. Where were you in the audience then?
Well, we were in the grass area.
Yeah, on the field.
Right.
Yeah, wow.
And what happened was, we had a blanket laid down, and my friends and I just sat there waiting for you to come on stage.
Right.
And just, when you did come on stage, there was a big crush to the front.
Right, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
In that crush, my sister fainted.
Oh, no.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my God.
So we had to carry her up the top and bring her over to...
St. John's ambulances?
Mm. Well, yeah, they were there. But
they were there. They were treating a lot of people.
And then, so we heard the rest of the concert behind the stage.
Oh, no.
Yes, we did.
So you didn't see it?
I only saw a bit of it because Marisa, my sister, fainted.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well... I mean, other than come see me now, because...
Yes,
I'm not nearly...
On the 11th of November at Vodafone Arena.
Yes, I will definitely come to see you.
It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, we're going to rock it, and we will do all of those songs that we did, or most of the songs that we did that were hits, and some of the new stuff. And
see, that's a beauty,
we'll rock.
Too. People go along, they know every bit of your music.
I think they will know just about every song. I think they'll know, in fact, maybe every song.
Mm.
But not necessarily all... Oh, I don't want to...
When I do a show, I just sing the same song 14 times. It was the only hit I ever had. Sue. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Ernie and David. I'm just ringing to say I went to your concert in 1974 and back to the Southern Cross afterwards. And I've also got tickets to your next show.
Fantastic.
And I'm looking forward to it. I'm 10 rows in the front. I'm excited.
Oh, excited. I promise you, you better come with your dancing shoes on, honey.
Yeah. Oh, I will.
You better come and be prepared to stand and scream and shout and sweat, okay?
I will, I promise.
We are going to rock.
Yeah.
It sounds excellent. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Honestly, it's been a great celebration. And for all of us who have had that connection with the times of the 70s when we were a lot younger and the music that... I mean, I haven't been playing these songs for many years, so it's really exciting to go back out and play it and to know that people out there really care and love it and it had an impact on them. And it certainly had a huge impact on my life, and you have.
All right.
And I mean that. So thank you.
Good on you, Sue.
Come and be prepared.
Sheridan. Hi, Sheridan.
Hi. Hi, Ernie. Hi, David. How are you? I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been a fan of yours since the middle of the 70s.
Yeah?
Yes, I used to love the Partridge Family, and
yeah.
I still get on cable, so I'm rapt about that.
Uh-huh. You know, it's coming
back
on.
It's on cable, yeah.
But it's coming back on in October to Channel 1.
TV One, yeah. Fantastic. I'll be glad when it comes back again.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, it's great to see. It's been coming back all over the world, and it's a wonderful thing to see a whole new generation of people digging it.
Did you ever realize that in all those years ago that it's still being played, you know, 26, 27 years later? It's incredible,
no,
isn't it?
It is.
How do you feel when you look at it?
Well, honestly, I look at it differently than anyone else would, other than the people that were in it, perhaps, with me.
Mm.
I remember what it was like to be in it. I never was outside of it watching it. I was in it. So I see it as, I remember, you know, what I did in the take before and
all the memory comes back.
Exactly, about the action of doing it as opposed to watching the show.
Yeah.
You know, as being in it like that, it had an enormous impact on me too, you know, and it was great fun to do it. And it launched my whole career for the last 30 years, so.
Well,
bless you for coming.
You can see the man himself the 11th of November at Vodafone Arena. Better hurry up. There's not many tickets available, but get on to Ticketek pretty quickly because this guy is a very, very special entertainer and you won't regret going along on the 11th of November. And David Cassidy, thanks a million. No wonder you're still a star because you're very natural and down-to-earth guy.
Thank you very much for that,
Thanks,
Aaron.
David.
It's a pleasure to see you.
Lovely to come in.
All the best, mate.
Mr. David Cassidy.